week. He'll be here at 11 o'clock for our Sunday morning service. And then the Sunday after that, March the 15th, Mike Muzzarella will be here. So, and that's just one service Sunday morning. And also, I believe Brother Ron went over that, but I'd like to invite everyone to adult Bible study. We have every Sunday morning at 10:15. We just started the fifth chapter of Romans, justification by faith. No more important Bible doctrine in the Bible, in my opinion, than to be justified by faith through Jesus Christ. Great, great study. If you can't make it, we have handouts in the back from all the lessons. So God bless you. We got a special brother.
Well, this morning, Brother David Sublime and Brother Byron's going to have to leave. Brother David, some friends of his from Uganda, where he's from, and Africa, were killed this past week, and they've got to go and be in the service today. We want to pray for them, ask God just to touch that family. Father, we just pray today, Lord, for this family. Lord, pray, God, that all those surviving family members and friends, Lord, that, God, you'd give them strength and courage through this time. God, pray that you would just minister and move with your power. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. He was a doctor, and I don't know all the details, but Brother David's got to be excused this morning. Y'all give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Thank you, Brother David, Brother Byron. God bless y'all. Amen. So good to have you with us today. And just want to remind those that we are live streaming now. So if you have somebody, friends or family, that would like to see the telecast, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this is also for our people in our church. When they're sick or unable to attend or whatever situation may be, that they can actually watch it. We do have the preaching. Part of the preaching will be archived, so you can go back and watch those. Amen. Children, you can be dismissed. Almost forgot. Got it in. Praise the Lord for Children's Church. But want to just remind you to be aware of that, and you can go to our website at www.victoryandpraise.com, and we'll believe the Lord to help and guide. We're praying God's going to minister some people. Today, I had a brother from India this week tell me they would be watching, want to know what time it was, and said it would be 10:30 their time, if I'm not mistaken. And so we're just thankful that God can use something so simple. And let me just say this, church, something that only costs a few thousand dollars can take this message right now to Africa. Think about that. Right now to Russia. Some years ago, they did a study and said it took about $25 to $35 per member per week to keep the church running. And that's what the cost was. But when they broke it down as far as television, it was to the pennies of what it cost per millions of people you could expose the gospel to. And so today, through live stream, we're able to broadcast around the world this morning. And I'm telling you, it is a great time to live in. It's a great blessing to be alive in 2015. I almost said 14 again. It's taking me a little while to get used to that. But I do want you to understand today that I'm concerned sometimes that we are a church as a body, not just our church, but as a group around the world, that we've got numb to the fact of the end times. I want to talk to you this morning about patiently waiting for Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. Going to take a little break from James. We're studying this week. Felt the Lord just move on my heart to share this with you today. While you're looking, going to pray. I do have Brother Justin. I believe I have all those scriptures maybe in those envelopes I put up there this morning. But in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, some of this I may not read, but Brother Justin will put it on the overhead for us. But I want to start here with a verse that's probably going to shock you a little bit, because you're going to say, what in the world is he going to come from this with? But let's go here in chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. And God, we ask that you would let us hear your word today. Lord, let us feel your anointed word in our heart, in our presence. God, use this preacher today, Lord, to bring forth the word. But Lord, let ears hear and hearts to receive here in this church and around the world. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty, precious name. Now, this scripture here, as he gives John a measuring rod and tells him to measure the temple of God and the altar and them who worship therein. This was first a literal temple which is yet to be built and will be built in Jerusalem. Now, there was a temple there at one time, but that temple's been destroyed. All the things of Jerusalem were trotted down because of Israel's rejection of Christ. You'll remember Jesus said there'll be not a stone left unturned. And because of their rejection of Christ, they found themselves totally desolated in Jerusalem. Well, it will be built, Daniel 9:27 tells us as a prophetic scripture, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, the sacrifice, and for the overspreading of abominations shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The measure is for judgment. He's measuring that building as God's going to judge, my friend. Today, you and I have to realize that even as we sit here, plans are already being made to rebuild this temple in Jerusalem. Now, why is that? Because the Jews have not been able to make sacrifice in the temple since all this happened. For almost 2,000 years now, so they've not been able to make their sacrifice. But even as we speak, there's plans already drawn out. It's already ready to go as soon as they can begin to build it. Not only is this going to be built, but the thing that you have to understand is there'll have to be priests working, fulfilling the Levite role. And because of this, there's already young Jewish men being trained, by, that they believe come from the tribe of Levi, being trained for service in the temple. Oh my, well why is that? Because they are looking for their Redeemer, their Messiah to come. This is Israel. They're looking. You and I already know he's come, right? We know that Jesus is that Messiah. He is that Redeemer. But Israel is still looking because they rejected him when he came. But the problem is that where the temple's got to be built, there's a Muslim temple already there. And that is the Dome of the Rock. And it must be built in that very same spot. Now, I don't have to say very much. Most anybody in this room would know of all the turmoil in the Middle East. We see the chaos. We see the upheaval. We see the war and the hate for Israel by all of these surrounding them. And the reason that it's going to be a tremendous thing that people can't quite understand, how in the world will this ever come about, is because that spot, the rock, as they call it, the Dome of the Rock, is the third most holy spot in all of Islam. You don't go mess with Islam's holy spots without a war. I'm telling you, draw a cartoon about one of them, they'll burn a city down. Come on. They are extremists, they like to call them, and they like to say it's just the extremists. Let me tell you, Islam as a whole is straight from the very pits of hell. It will not save anybody. It will not deliver anybody, but it will put them in bondage. They talk about human slavery today. Let me tell you, all around the world, there are people enslaved by these men who come in the name of Allah. They have enslaved them around the world, and they're in bondage. Today, churches will be burnt around the world where they're worshiping like we are today. They will be terrorized. Some of them will be murdered. Some of them will be burnt. Some of them will be hung. Some of them will be stoned because they believe that Jesus is the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. My friend, today you better thank God where you're at this morning. Sitting here in a soft, comfortable chair in air condition, I'm telling you, we are blessed. But there's many today, for the name of Christ, their families will be burned and killed. There's many who will lose everything they have as the Muslims will come and take their homes from them. if they don't burn it. But my friend, I must assure you today, even though it looks and you wonder how could these things happen, how could this time take place, it's because in the end times there's going to be things that are going to happen. And why do you say, Brother Ron, how do you know what's going to happen? Because I know what it says in this word. Amen. Well, where's your PhD? I don't have to have any of that. Brother, I know what God's word says, and thank God I can read. But most of all, thank God I have the Holy Spirit to guide me when I read it. Amen. And under his guidance, we can tell what our future is going to be. I don't have to go to no psychic. I don't have to go to somebody bucks to tell me my future. I know what my future is, thank God. I don't have to go and read tarot cards or throw bones down. Come on, I'm telling you, I already know what's going to happen to Ron Mitchum. I'm going to go be with Jesus forever. And you say, well, the news and the people don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East. I can tell you what's going to happen in the Middle East. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be a turmoil until Christ comes and reigns. Hallelujah. Presidents can go all they want and try to make the situation in Israel better. They can go and do all they want to try to keep everything from being a mess. They will never stop the situation that's going on in Israel. They'll never stop the turmoil in the Middle East. They've all tried, and that's good that they've tried. But they'll never successfully be able to accomplish peace there. There will never be peace there until, like we talk about, Christ finally comes. But there's going to come a day, and you don't hear it a lot in churches anymore, because the church doesn't preach about the rapture. The church is too busy preaching about money. Come on. The church is too busy preaching about money, prosperity. The church is too busy chasing around the next miracle. Come on now, I'm just going to tell it like it is. I'm too dumb to do it any other way. I just know that the church, I've seen it since I was a boy and got saved at 12. I've seen it run after everything that comes along. Every new preacher that comes on, every new book that's sold, every new little scam that comes along, they're involved and they're chasing after it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your preacher's every time getting a hold of the newest book and he's changing what he believes and thinks because of some new book you got, you better find you a new preacher, because that preacher's going to lead you after doing nothing but chasing rabbits, brother. I don't know if you've ever been hunting, but if you chase rabbits, you can go on a long run. They'll have you chasing rabbits, chasing after everything that comes along, but they'll never get you founded in the solid Word of God. That Word of God is what's going to hold you and keep you through the times of trials and tribulations. Oh, they tell you no hard times are going to come. Brother, they ain't been serving Christ very long, because I can tell you there will be hard times. But the difference between their hard times and my hard times is when I get in a difficult situation, I got Jesus on my side, hallelujah, and he's going to make a way for me and work through whatever has to be done to bring about that miracle. I don't have to look this morning and wonder about the things that many are worried about. All I need to worry about right now as a Christian is staying faithful to Christ. The economy may come and go, but I can't change the economy. Hey, things may happen. Who knows what's going to happen in America? We've got a bunch of crazies in Washington. Oh, yes, sir, they're all crazy. I don't care if you like the president or don't like him. He ain't the problem. The problem in America is the rejection of Christ and bringing in immorality. In Alabama right now, they're fighting. Supposedly, I think Monday, it's supposed to be legal for same-sex marriages in the state of Alabama. I was reading an article, and the preacher that does weddings at the courthouse, one of the towns there in Alabama, him and another retired minister do it, and they just, people give them love offerings. But as soon as they come out their license, the justice of the peace is busy, and he lets them come down, and they got a little room, and they can take them in there and do the wedding. And they asked him, they said, what are you going to do about same-sex marriage? He said, I'm going to look at that marriage license. and make sure it don't say Steve and Jeff. Come on. Oh, make sure it don't say. That reporter said, "What? What do you mean?" He said, "I'm not going to marry, but they say you have to." He says, "Yeah, but the good book says I don't." And he says, "I don't go by man's law. I go by God's law. Alabama or anywhere else, you justices, you lawyers, you people, you judges who sit up there and think you have a right to take people into immorality, I'm going to tell you something. You may think you're high important now, but there'll be a day, the Bible says, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will know that you were a judge who brought in perversion and ungodliness in this country. You can make all the laws you want, but it don't change anything in the eyes of God. Well, it's law, Brother Ron. You got to accept it. There'll be no same-sex marriage in this pulpit, in this church. Well, we'll shut your doors. Well, there's a field out here, and we'll get in it and have church. We don't have to have a building. Hallelujah. We don't have to have your approval. All we need is God's approval. And with His approval, all things are possible, and He'll move wherever we're at. It's not about man's justification. But my friend, all this is just to get us caught up in a world that's busy trying to reject Christ. Why is it so busy doing that? Because the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. But I got news for you, Christian. There's a day coming. Oh, I said there's a day coming. Some of you ain't heard about it. They get on to me about this. I like to wipe my mouth and talk at the same time. Sort of interferes with the microphone, but I want you to know there's a problem brewing for this world, but it's going to be a good thing for me. It's going to be a good thing for you that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's an event coming called the rapture of the church. It is the blessed hope of the church. Amen. Well, Brother Ron, what's got to happen before that rapture? Nothing. What do you mean? Nothing. Everything's been fulfilled. Everything's waiting. Right now, all we need is for Jesus to come in those eastern skies. That's all we need, church, to leave this old world, just for Christ to come in the clouds of glory. There's not one more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. It is all fulfilled. It's ready. That's the next great event of the church, is the rapture of the church. Now, many will say, Brother Ron, I don't know if I believe in a pre-trib. Or pre-rapture. I believe in mid-trib. I believe in a post-trib. Let me tell you, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, don't matter what you think or when you think it's going to happen, when Jesus comes, you're going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's going to solve that question. We had somebody one time left the church, said we can't come here because we don't believe in the rapture happening before tribulation. I said, well, you can still come to church here. That don't change. Do you believe in Jesus? Because, hey, you may find out you're wrong and might find out you're right. But there's one thing about it. My job is just to be ready when He comes. Amen. It ain't to be the Bible scholar that can figure it all out. The thing is, we don't know every detail. But from what we see in the Bible, we see a picture of a rapture of the church taking place. And I'm going to hold on to that. Amen. I'm holding on because when that rapture takes place, now I was taught immediately that the 7-year tribulation period would start. Let me say this. We don't know for a fact. There could be several years after the rapture of the church that actually the tribulations begin. They can be set in motion, but during that time could be the time somehow the Antichrist works his way in. Do you know right now that Iran is believing their Messiah is coming. And they're preparing. The two things they think they have to do to have their Messiah come is to destroy Israel, and the little Satan, and destroy America, the great Satan. And they believe if they can do those two things, that they can have their Messiah come. Well, their Messiah, as they think he may be, may come, but he won't be the real deal. Come on.
Oh, just like Israel sitting there wondering and waiting for theirs. But my friend, he's already come, and he sits at the right hand of God right now. Oh, he's already been here. But you was too busy with your religious tradition. You was too busy with your trying to worry about Israel and trying to worry about the Jews and your hatred of the Gentiles. You got so caught up in yourself and made so many laws that when Jesus came, there was over, I think, 600 laws that they had added and made up themselves. And people, I mean, you couldn't even go to church on Sunday and comb your hair before you went. Thank God we're still not in that law, because you'd be considered plowing. Hallelujah. Hey, that's the kind of bondage that legalism and law will put on you. Come on now. Law of man will do that, and that's exactly what was happening to Israel at that time. They were so bound up by traditions of the law of what they thought was right that they could not understand that they needed to have be looking for the Messiah. They were blinded. Let me say this. The church is no different today. The church is so caught up in all the foolishness that we lose sight of the coming of Christ Jesus. We lose sight of it because we're so busy wondering and you know, a lot of times just chasing, like I said earlier, rabbits. But my friend, there's going to be a day come, and when that time comes, we're going to see that Antichrist stick his head up. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist will sign a 7-year pact with Israel and the nations called Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 9, 24 through 26 tells us about this. I'm not going to go in those details because read those scriptures. You can go back if you would later. For time's sake, I'm going to move through to the temples, because I want you to understand there's 5 temples to the Israelites. 5 temples that you need to know about. 1 is Solomon's temple. 2 is Zerubbabel's temple. 3 is Herod's temple. And those 3 there were built on the same spot as the Dome of the Rock. All 3 of those. And the future Jewish temple will be built right there. Come on. And then the next one will be the millennial temple. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And that'll be the last one to be built. But there's one still to come, church, that's got to be built. And we know the Antichrist will work somehow in that time of that 3.5 years of peace to bring about his way of getting that temple built. And Israel's going to fall head over heels in love with this man. And they're going to finally say, our Redeemer's here. Our Messiah has shown up. Oh, praise be to God. We finally see our Messiah. And they're going to begin to think that he is just the man, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And once they put him in there, he's going to say, you can build your temple. They build the temple. They go back to make sacrifices. But let me tell you, the one they've fallen for, the one they're so in love with, is going to walk in and say, you can make sacrifice, but you can't make it to your God. You're going to make sacrifice to me because I'm God. Oh, let me tell you, that is, as the Bible tells us, the desolation of desolation. Matthew 24 and 15, I believe it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. That will be the time that wicked one will stand and declare, I'm God. And he won't sacrifice. Israel then will realize, we've totally been taken in. We've totally been deceived. Well, let me say this to you today, church. When that devil does that Antichrist, he's going to make the headquarters in that temple, move them to there, and that's where he's going to try to reign and set up. Israel's going to find out through this that they're going to face the first defeat in the history of the country of Israel. That was in 1948. After the horrible Holocaust that took place, millions murdered, the horror of thinking somebody could kill people the way they did. But they did. Why? How can that happen? Brother, if we're not careful, let me tell you, it can happen today, because you let people who are wicked get in power, and what they will do, they will make it all right, okay? Just like they're making same-sex marriage all right. It's the same process. They know how to do it. They've learned from Hitler. They've learned from all the communists. They've learned how to do those things, and they know how to get themselves to where they want it. That Antichrist will defeat Israel for the first time since 1948. That defeat's going to come. Let me say this. When they elected to have Israel a country, become its own country, state, they say that everybody in the United Nations fell silent. And they said that everybody voted yes, not one no vote, and only one country did not vote, and that was Great Britain. When they asked the President of the United States, who was president at that time, and I can't remember his name right now. Y'all know how good I am with names. Some of you would know. Some of you were alive then, wasn't you? I wasn't, so I can't remember. But I can tell you this. Well, if you are, thank God for that. Amen? Come on. I'm not making fun of you. I'm praising God with you. Hey, do we find that he said the greatest thing that I did as president was to help establish Israel with the mighty power of America behind her. I can tell you today, church, that was a part in 1948, the beginning of what we're in now, of these end times, in the sense of Israel being able to be the player and the person that it will be. When Christ came, Israel did not recognize him. Did not recognize him, did not want to recognize him. The church, let us learn from that. Let us learn from what Israel's mistakes were made. Matthew 24:32-33 says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all things, know that it is at the door." Church, it doesn't take a genius to figure out we're seeing the end times. The Middle East has never been better prepared than it is right now for somebody to step up. I don't know how many times I turn on the news and they say, there's no answer. Nobody has an answer. And they always say, well, President Obama seems to not have an answer. Like that's surprising. He don't have an answer to ISIS. No, and I think that's how you pronounce it, but I really don't want to waste my time learning. They could care less. I just know this. They're a bunch of devil killing devils. Amen. My goodness. If I said that right, it'd be great. Well, they try to figure out, how's this going to happen? What are we going to do? We've got to put an end to it. My friend, I could just see right now that Antichrist have an opportunity to step up and say, I can help in this situation. It's set up perfect for him. It is a perfect situation for him right now. But let me say this. I don't plan to be around to see what he does, because I do believe, like I said, the rapture of the church is coming and we're going to leave here in the clouds of glory. Now, I'm going to leave here 200 plus, none of your business, pound. But oh, praise God, before I get into heaven, I'm going to change for a white robe and I'm going to be back down to 188 pounds. Woo! That doesn't make you shout right there. No more Atkins. Man, I get to heaven, them watermelons better look out. Ooh, every one of them 100-pounders in trouble. Come on, 50-pound peaches, 25-pound plums. Every one of them sweet as they could be. Oh, boy, hallelujah. Ooh, I better shut up. Y'all getting ready for lunch. No cotton. I don't know if there'll be cottage cheese in heaven or not, but I guarantee you if there is, sister, there'll be plenty of peaches to go in it. You got y'all's plug in. Hallelujah. The second coming of Christ will save the world from total destruction. Let me tell you, if Christ does not come back, now the rapture is not the second coming. Sometimes we get confused on that. The rapture is when Christ comes and takes church. The second coming is when he comes and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. That's the second coming of Christ, okay? At the Battle of Armageddon, all that will take place. But if Christ doesn't come, they would destroy the world. The world would destroy itself, total destruction, because of its rebellion against God. And God even said that man's heart is evil, constantly evil. And that's what we don't understand. So We say, well, you know, that's a good person. I'm going to tell you, that good person can be an evil person. Come on. I've seen people that were so sweet. I'm telling you, turn to the meanest devil you ever met. Oh, my. So I love folks, but I know one thing. No matter how sweet they are, they still a part of them that needs to be sanctified. Amen? Still needs to get under some good cover. They have a touch from God sometimes. But that destruction would take place no different than the church would completely apostatize. Completely apostatize. Now, what is that word? That means to defect. They would completely defect from the gospel. The church of Jesus Christ would abandon all of our previous knowledge and loyalties that we have to Christ. And they would reject the faith of Christ Jesus. The church is in a serious situation of apostasy today. I can assure you there's only, my friend, a remnant the Bible talks about. Now, right now, the church as a whole around the world is in deep trouble. Because preachers have quit preaching Christ and they chase rabbits. They're trying to send you after fool's gold, and they're worried about feathers falling from heaven in their audience. And they're telling people, make sure your teeth got, I mean, they're not got gold on you. Gold dust may be on your britches and all this stuff. I'm telling you, that's what the church has gone after. Don't be looking for gold dust. Don't be looking for angel feathers. Be looking to Jesus Christ and keep your attention on him. Be ready because he's coming in the clouds of glory. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no woman, young people, there is no boy that's more important than having Christ Jesus. There's nothing worth missing that rapture. There's nothing worth, not one car, not a boat, not a house, not anything worth missing out in Christ Jesus. That big bank account ain't worth missing out on Christ Jesus. And then we got the opposite side. I'm so poor I can't even pay attention. I'm so poor they spell it with five O's. God don't love me, so I'm not going to serve God. Let me tell you something. Even when you're poor, there ain't no argument about that enough, no feeling sorry enough about it in yourself to miss out on God. Lift your eyes up to Christ. He will provide and make a way. I found many tests along this journey. I found many times the enemy would tell me, you're not going to make it. But God's always come through. Brother, if you don't have some times to grow and to learn, then you're never going to move forward. Just embrace whatever you're going through and say, hallelujah. Thank God I ain't by myself. When nobody's calling, yeah, but Jesus is on the main line. Hallelujah. That's the only phone call you need. Oh, my friend, the church would apostatize and actually is at this very time. No longer do they sing about the blood of Jesus. The churches now have actual rock music in the church. They actually play rock music so that they can draw the unsaved, supposedly, and make them feel comfortable. I don't know about you, but when I was a sinner, I never felt comfortable in church. And I didn't expect to go to one and feel comfortable. At least I had enough sense to know if I was a sinner, a reprobate, and lost from running from God, that if I went to church and felt comfortable and good about myself, something wrong with that church and something definitely was wrong with that preacher. I'm telling you because the church is a place to come and find about Christ Jesus and about the precious blood that will save you. And if the Holy Ghost ain't moving and convicting hearts, it ain't a church. It's just another rock concert. Oh, Brother Ron, you're old-fashioned. I could care less what they call me. I'm worried about winning souls. I've been praying, God, bring a revival. Bring a revival. Bring a revival. Let people get saved. Let folks be born again. Let us as a church have a hunger to see people saved. Hallelujah. Hey, you get excited if gold dust falls down or feathers from an angel supposedly get in the room. Why don't you get excited when somebody accepts Jesus? Why don't you get excited about that fact of somebody coming to Christ? Well, I only like it the preacher preaches a little life story, a life lesson. My Lord, have I heard that since I moved to Houston? So many times. Brother Ron, we just going to go down the road because we just like a life lesson. And that preacher says, you know, you just think positive. And you put on your refrigerator a picture of what you want. If it's a car or a boat or a house. And every day you get up to get your orange juice or your milk or your coffee, you look at that refrigerator and you claim that's yours. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be saved to do that. I can give you a ticket to the Holiday Inn. Hey, because I guarantee you they'll send free tickets out to the first get-rich scheme that come through town and they have them at the Holiday Inn. Amen. Years ago, I was invited to one, took me down there, got... You know, I went down to this deal and sat in there, and there's about probably 600 people there. They're going to tell us how to get rich. They got up there, and he got through, and he said, there's about 600 people here today. We've only brought 300 of our material. It costs $699. For the set. We're going to mark it down $100. And I'm thinking, okay, now I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack, but I'm pretty smart. That's smart enough to see through that. First of all, if you're going to tell me how to be a millionaire and you got 600 seats out here, but you only brought 300 of those deals, you ain't smart enough to tell me how to be a millionaire. Come on. You got it? Some of you get that after lunch. And then, if there's only 300 sets, you got 600 people, and you already marking it down $100, you are dumber than dirt. Come on. You're dumb as a dirt dauber. Come on. What will you say? I mean, come on. You don't turn it off. You don't mark it down. You go ahead and raise the price. Ask the gas people. They know. You have to realize today, church, that the apostasy is taking place because the devil is working to try. He don't care if you're religious. He don't even care if you're in church. He just don't want you sold out to Jesus. Amen. You can go listen to your rock concert. You can go and do all the foolishness of church trappings and feel religious. But if you're not saved, it's not helping you one bit. You to be saved, it's not about feeling good about yourself. It's about confessing your sin, realizing your need for a Savior, and accepting Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, come in and change me. Holy Spirit, change me. Do a work in me. We would abandon our faith. The return of Christ is mentioned 318 times in the New Testament. 318 times it's mentioned. I want you, if you would, just turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Can you put that up, brother? Chapter 3. I want to read it with all of you if I could. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. My, 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 my. Oh, praise God. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience waiting for Christ.
Now, this is where I wanted to come to today. We know there's a church that's apostatized. There's no doubt about that. We know that there's all kind of foolishness out there. The Bible even tells us there'll be a remnant. But friend, I can't deal with anybody but you today. And my concern is every young person in Victory and Praise. I was talking the other day with one of our members, and they were saying their children don't know any preacher but me. Said they've been here their whole life under you, and now they're almost tall as me. And you know, thought about this week, and I said, God, I said, I pray that as a pastor, I have not failed those young people to let them understand that no matter what the world says, one day this thing's going to change. One day they're going to wake up, and if they don't go in that rapture, they're going to be left here. And the torment and the horror that will be here to be seen and felt and go through. Now, that does not mean they can't be saved during that time. But let me say this. Why would you want to go through all that, knowing that it's only a 7-year period, but 3.5 of it's going to be the most horrible time this planet has ever seen? If you think those tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes have been bad, just imagine what life's going to be like during that 3.5 years of tribulation. Just imagine it's going to be like being inside a washing machine, my friend. This world's going to be turned upside down, and you don't want to be here for none of that. Young people say, yeah, but I want to live my life. Oh, my goodness, do you not realize? Do you not realize what we got ahead of us? The shortest time we have on this planet is in this body, in our life, in our existence. I heard Brother Stan say it in Bible study this morning. He said, you know, as far as the east is from the west, and he said, I think he said that's like infinity. Is that the word you use? It never happens. You can't run south, east, and west. It won't happen. Let me tell you this. That's what eternity is, forever and ever. It's going to be forever. There's nothing worth missing that. There's nothing worth missing out on God. There's nothing worth missing out on that glorious day. Can you imagine? Sometimes I stop and I think, could this be today? I was sitting in my office this morning, and Brother Bobby Vickery came in and wanted to do a little touch-up vacuuming, and he was in here working around and wiped the mirrors down and glass, and we appreciate all that. Such a blessing. But I was sitting there getting my message ready and studying and waved at him, and I thought, man, what if the rapture took place right now? They'd come here and find this old coat and suit and belt and all this laid here in this chair. Old vacuum sitting out there running. Brother Bobby's blue shirt sitting right there. He don't got glasses on no more, I don't think. He got a hearing aid, I think, though. Find that old hearing aid laying on top of them, that blue shirt. And that vacuum just a humming. Glory to God, church. It's going to be real one day. When I was a boy, we'd watch these movies about the rapture. And I remember the preacher was putting up the signs on the letter on the signs, and the rapture come, and all of a sudden he was gone and half the sign was up. Every time I put that sign up out there, I think maybe. Oh, it's real. It's real. It's just as real as we're sitting here today. One day it's going to be over. There was a video we used to have on our website, and it was in a church, and the preacher said, and the rapture could take place right now, and also, and only a handful of people left in the church. I wonder today if that would truly be the case in our churches. I wonder how many preachers would be left. I wonder how many TV celebrity preachers would be left. I wonder how many of you that buy into all the foolishness, and you buy all the scams and all the holy water and everything and try to drink it and think you're going to get a miracle, when Jesus is the miracle. Amen. If it ain't coming from Jesus, you ain't getting it. I'm telling the young people, eternity middle-aged people, eternity. Our seniors, eternity. But oh, you hold on, because Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And Victory and Praise is going to be a church still preaching Jesus. They might not be but three of us. Hallelujah. But we'll come in here on a Sunday morning with the three of us, and we'll put on that broadcast if Justin's still here to flip the switch. And we'll go over to Bangladesh. Hallelujah. And the miracle will be there. This gospel must be preached that Jesus is the answer and the Messiah. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you today for your glorious mercy and your grace. God, I pray this morning that you would move across this audience and move on each heart and each life. And God, help us to be ready for your coming. I'm going to ask you this morning, and I know I don't do this all the time, but I'm going to ask every one of you that will, and I hope that most all of you will do this today, will come find you a place at this altar. And if there's not a place to kneel at the altar, if you can stand or kneel at the front rows, whatever you need to do. But if you will come and let's pray and ask God to give us strength, encouragement to hold on and to be faithful, to be patient, waiting on Christ, and that we should be a soul-winning saint of God, somebody with the ability to tell a world about Jesus Christ. Help us. Would you come this morning and find you a place? Would you come? Oh, precious Jesus, we thank you today.
Thank you, precious Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As they come, wherever you may be in the world today, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Don't you miss out on the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming, and he will save you. If you'll just say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I accept you as Messiah. I accept you as the Redeemer. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to wash me and to cleanse me of my iniquities and my transgressions. Oh, God, please come as I place my faith in you, Lord Jesus. I place my faith in you and your finished work at Calvary. And I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, if you said that prayer, your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. Would you just pray and talk to him? Hallelujah. Turn it up, Mom. Hallelujah, precious Jesus. Oh, God, give us help. Give us strength, Father. Give us strength, God, to be faithful and be strong in these times. God, to keep our attentions on you, Lord Jesus. Lord, to keep our attentions on you, God. Not let us falter. Not let us, God, look to the left, to the right. But, God, keep our attentions on you, Father. Keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Keep our eyes faithful and true on you. Lord, let us look and be patiently waiting for your coming. Father, we give you praise for today. God, we thank you for that strength today. We thank you, God. We thank you for that power and that anointing. Lord, we give you praise and glory. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. God, give us that strength, Lord. Give us that strength. God, let us keep those attentions on you, Lord. Let us keep those attentions on you, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us keep those attentions. Hallelujah. God, touch these families. Touch these young people, God. Touch them and move with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh, touch these young people, God. Move. God, give us strength. God, encouragement in these families. God, every man, every woman, every child today. Lord, I pray and give you praise and glory. And thank you, Lord, that we'd be waiting patiently and ready for your coming, Lord. We thank you for it today. Oh, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, Lamb of God.
Holy Spirit,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Please rest
Oh, precious Jesus. We give you praise and glory today, Lord. We thank you, precious Jesus, for your glorious mercy and your love today, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God.
And use me, Lord, to win the lost to thee. Holy Spirit, rest on me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me, that others may somehow see you in me.
Father, we give you praise this morning and glory. God, we thank you for each heart, each life. God, let us be ready, Lord. Let us not play games. Let us not play with our soul in eternity. We thank you for your precious mercy and your grace today, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for preparing us and getting us ready for your coming. We thank you for being a loving, caring God, full of mercy and grace. We give you praise today. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. We praise you. We praise you. Glory be to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just worship with the song this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, precious Holy Spirit.
Lord, may see you.
Hallelujah, precious Jesus. Well, praise God. You can leave here today and say Jimmy Swaggart sang in our service this morning. Years ago, I was traveling from Texas and went and was preaching in Florida and that night, and I went by Brother Swaggart's service and in the morning service. And this was before I'd ever got to preach for him. So I went over, and I was in the preaching. I told him, I said, well, this morning I went by and preached for some, I went by and spoke at Brother Jimmy Swaggart's church. And everybody said, ooh, that doing like that. And I said, well, my wife's here, so I better tell you the rest of the story. I spoke to the usher. Amen. Well, we love you today. We appreciate you so much for being here. We thank you for, you know, just who you are. I pray all our seniors will come tomorrow. And I do want to mention a couple of things in leaving today. Sister Barbara is in need, and we need to take up a food drive for her and some financial aid. I know Sister Flores is also in need of some financial aid at this time. And there's a lot of people in need, and we ask you, if you can, to be praying about that and to help them out. And if you want to take it through the church, let us know, and we'll be glad to give you credit for your taxes at the end of the year. But if not, just make sure you get it to them. But we appreciate you. You're always a good, faithful, loving church, and we appreciate that. Amen? Because I do believe that one of the first things you know about somebody who's truly saved is they have love in their heart for others, and they care about other people. So I pray that you will pray about these things. Also, just in mentioning, Brother Donnie will be here 6th, 7th, and 8th. Brother Mike Muzzaro will be here the next week. That Saturday before he's here, he's going to actually be, Brother Mike's going to be over here in New Caney that Saturday. And we're going to they're doing a thing with inviting people from all over the community, and they're having different churches come and put up a booth about their church. We'd like to do that. If you'd be interested in helping with that, we sure would appreciate it. And just let us know. We'll get you involved in that. Also, we're going to have probably that Sunday when Brother Mike's here, instead of doing it the week Donnie's here because of three services, we may have a lunching out after the service when Brother Mike's here the following week, that Sunday that he's here, so that we can fellowship and have a time of fellowship and joy before the weather gets too hot again. Amen. And March the 21st, we'll have, on a Saturday morning, have our football sign up for our homeschooler football program. If you know anybody that homeschools or goes to a private school that does not offer football and they'd like to play football, send them our way. We got from 12 to 14-year-olds, 15 to 18-year-olds. But the neat thing is we pray with them. And we have a wonderful time. It's a great time of encouraging those young men to live for Christ. And God uses that. It gives us a great platform through the football to be able to minister their lives. And it's a powerful ministry. And had testimony of the parents who said, my son's life has been changed. And some of these older boys who were heading down the wrong road came here. And their mom and daddy said, I can't ever tell you how much it's meant in their life what God has done in them young boys' lives because of what you men do out here working with these young men and show them Christ and show them what it is to be a Christian. And so we're very excited about that. So if you know of anybody, make sure you're welcome. We want to just say one little quick parting shot to you. Sister Barbara gave me a joke this morning, and she's good, giving me some really good jokes, so I always pay attention when she gives me one. And this one says, to write with a broken pencil is pointless. To go to church and not know Christ is pointless. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise. Make sure you hug neck. Shake some hands this morning. Way out.
Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Yes, and may my life have what it all. And may my life have what it ought to be. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit. Make my life happy, what it all to be. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please rest on me. Holy Spirit, please rest on me. And use me, Lord, to win the lost to thee. Holy Spirit, rest on me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me, that others may somehow see you in me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, flow out from me. That others, Lord, may see you